I think getting caught in the weeds of has to be the latest and greatest and it has to be the best. And I have to spend all this money and have a super low margin because I need to give so much value, I think gets us in this constant comparison trap where you're constantly going to be chasing something more, something more, something more. And you're going to honestly burn yourself out.
You're listening to She Can Systemize, your go-to place where you are finally going to feel like this is what I need. I'm your host, Taryn Rochelle, and this podcast is a no-fluff, sustainable business tips, real-life experiences, and a whole lot of community vibes to help you create your version of freedom in your life and business. Everything you're envisioning of doing can be achievable with the right mindset, plan, and yes, of course, a system. So grab your favorite bev, listen while you work, or kick off those shoes and get comfy because you're about to soak up some real talks, actionable steps, and usually some laughs along the way. Those big dreams you have aren't just going to stay dreams for long. So pop in those AirPods because yes, I'm here to help you make it happen. Hey guys, welcome back to She Can Systemize. I am your host, Taryn Rochelle, and today I am joined by Haley, who is a former 20-year corporate leader turned serial entrepreneur with a master's degree in leadership and 2 decades background in strategic operations and leading teams of 5 to 500. She now utilizes her extensive expertise and passion for people to help entrepreneurs strategically scale their big vision and bottom line while leveraging a highly engaged community and purpose-driven relationships. Thank you so much for joining me, Haley. I'm excited to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know you, I would love for you to share a little bit more about you and just your experience of being an entrepreneur and just a little bit more about you and about what you love to do in your business and also just your day-to-day of having, you know, a business and being an entrepreneur.
Sure. So I've been working on trying to refine keeping this brief, so I'll do my best. I spent about 20 years in the corporate leadership space. I became an entrepreneur a little messily after a corporate layoff. It wasn't the prettiest. I had to get scrappy quick. I went from making a lot of money to no money real quick. So we had to get resourceful. So I spent the first couple years of entrepreneurship doing social media management, social media strategy, one-on-one and group coaching. And really that came from my network of people seeing that there was a need and reaching out and saying, hey, you have this organic skill set. Would you be willing to help me? So I built my entire first couple of years of my business off of referrals only. I had no website. I didn't do marketing. I didn't even really have a social media presence for my business because I was still trying to figure out how to navigate talking about being laid off from my job. And so that is what I actually did for the first couple of years. And about a year ago, I decided, as entrepreneurs do, because we're a little wild, to burn my entire offer suite to the ground and rebuild from scratch. Because coming from my background and just really having so much extensive, you know, professional expertise and all of these things, I really knew I was selling myself short with the way that I was serving other people. So currently really working on founders that are in a season of scaling and teaching them how to really create strategic expansion within their business, but understanding that if you're really intentional about the community that you're cultivating, formal or informal, that's going to take you further, way faster than grinding and hustling after, you know, cold leads and trying to do it all on your own. So that's what I currently do now through a multitude of different things, in-person events, a signature group program, and some high-level one-on-one coaching. And then I also am the co-founder of a community here in Arizona for female founders, which quite frankly, I think saved me from like the isolation of becoming an accidental entrepreneur and going from like being around all the people to then being like, oh, wait, and now I'm at home by myself and I don't have anyone to talk to. What happens now? So yeah, that's kind of the short version. Yeah.
It's such a big transition to go from, because I came from retail management. So same kind of thing, like I was around so many people all the time and, you know, around all my coworkers. And then obviously in retail management, you're around customers all the time. And so went from that to then, like you said, working from home. And it is such a big transition to go from one extreme to the other, because yes, you do feel like you have this like time freedom and everything, but you know, you also don't have the consistent income and you don't have the consistency of having people around you. And so I think that's where building community is so important in so many aspects of your business, because it can and will help grow and scale your business faster, like what you're talking about, but it also will give you that sense of having people around you and not feeling like you're alone in entrepreneurship, because it can feel very lonely, but I always say it doesn't have to. And when a lot of people will tell me, you know, that they do feel lonely in business or things like that, I always ask them, like, what's your community like? You know, what communities are you in? Are they serving you? Are they, you know, really benefiting your life and in your business? And then also, do you have a community of your own within your own business? And I feel like that is just so important, especially when you first start.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think you hit the nail on the head with understanding that like one space isn't going to serve all of our needs, right? That's like expecting our spouse to be like everything for us. And it's just setting us both up for disappointment, to be perfectly honest. And so I'm really conscious, and I know you are too. We've had plenty of conversations about this, about being really intentional about the people that we're bringing into our circle and how we're aligned with one another. And so, you know, I'm not going to go to my non-mom friend for parenting advice. I'm not going to go to my non-married friend for marriage advice. And so having that alignment is so huge, because it allows us to really get the full depth of all of the value that community has to offer when we're able to align those people with the different areas of our life.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, you talking about you're not going to go to this person for expertise when they may not have that understanding. I found that so important when I started my business, of being around other people that had businesses, because I had a lot of friends from growing up and things like that, but we're all in 9-to-5s or all were in corporate and just didn't understand the lifestyle of having your own business and the, you know, hardships that come with it, the exciting things, you know, understanding that, yeah, even if we're like up late working, it's like, you know, for our own, like we want to do it, no one's forcing us to do it. And I would have friends that would be like, you shouldn't be working, it's so late. And I'm like, I want to be working, and this is a time my kids are asleep and I want to get something done. And it's because I enjoy it, not because I have a boss that's like making me work past 5 o'clock at night. When it comes to community, like what made you so passionate about community growth? So you said you kind of like burnt your business to the ground and then transitioned into what you do now. So like what made you so passionate about what you do and transition into this now journey that you are on right now?
Yeah, for sure. So my background, I have a master's degree in leadership, and it was really funny. I was just telling this story actually yesterday. When I went to choose my grad program, I was kind of in this swing of like, do I do an MBA because that feels like it makes the most sense? But then I was looking at, you know, the curriculum thinking, I don't want to look at one more spreadsheet. I literally do this stuff every day in my day to day. I know enough to do what I need to do. I love people. At the core of who I am as a human being in every aspect of my life, I love people. So I ended up getting my master's in leadership, and really in my corporate era, if you will, so much of my time and energy was unknowingly, you know, at that time, cultivating community within these spaces and within teams. And it really is my superpower. And so when that was kind of stripped, my identity was kind of shaken a little bit. And so, you know, this was also in a time where a lot of people were, you know, hermiting up at home and we weren't all around each other quite as much. And so I was really forced to be the captain of my own ship, if you will, and go out and search these things out. And so when we built Collab Culture, the community that we run, that was really based off of our own personal need and a void that we were seeking, my business partner and I, and figuring out what would it look like if we took all the best things of all the other places that we've been and we put them all in one place, and the things that didn't serve us or didn't align with us or weren't our favorite, we were able to just set them to the side. What if we could find that? And we went on this mission to find it. Spoiler alert, we couldn't find it. So we decided to build it ourselves. And I really think that was the pivot for me with launching Collab Culture, to really understand the power that community has, and that I had been doing it all along. I just didn't know because it was called something else. And so now going into really not even rebranding, but redesigning the offer suite within my coaching business, is I've seen the transformation this can create for me. And I want to share that gift with so many other people because I know the impact it can make in their life and business.
I think that's so great. And it's so easy to look at things in our past and not realize that we've already been doing stuff like this from the beginning. People always ask me, you know, how did I get into systems, or, you know, all these different things. And I look back and I'm like, I always just was systems oriented. I always was community oriented, but just didn't really realize that that's what I was doing from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it took me diving in and doing like my origin story of like looking back at like all the different aspects of these like pivotal points in my life to tie back into like, okay, I was always doing these kinds of things in different capacities. Yeah, it's not the same as like owning your own business and, you know, building out systems or hosting retreats and everything like that. But then now I look at it and I'm like, okay, this is why I have a passion for this. And this is why I have these skill sets, because they've always been there. It's just in like a different capacity. When it comes to building communities, I love that you said, you know, you looked at things that other people were doing, or ones you'd been in and you kind of like cherry picked like your favorite parts. I see a lot of people when they, you know, start communities, they maybe feel like they fail in them. And I think that comes to maybe just not having a right plan or mindset going into building a community. What are some things you maybe see that people go wrong with starting a community and also being in one? Because I think those are like two different aspects of this, but two very important conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as a facilitator, the two things that I see people go wrong with the most is not having a really clear outline of both their vision as well as their boundaries, and really understanding what is the goal? What is the purpose? Is this to make money? Is this to generate more leads? Is this to, you know, create a mentorship program or peers or whatever that looks like for you? And there's not one right or wrong answer. And I just want to reiterate to people, because this thing comes up so much, you can love people and also love money. It's okay to love both and to want to grow and expand and scale your revenue and your business. You can still have an innate love for people. You don't have to choose one or another. But I think when in building collabs specifically, if I use that as an example, we were very, very clear that we wanted a balance of both education and connection. We didn't want to have to choose one or the other. We wanted to create spaces for both. We wanted it to be hyper local because the area in which we live, there was really nothing that was super accessible for people. And our, you know, whole motto, which is I see literally everywhere now, is community over competition. If you go anywhere, the header on our website from the very, very beginning, we've been very clear in that. And that does come with maybe turning some people away that are not the right fit. And that's totally fine. But having that consistency of going back to that every single time when people slide into the DMs and say, how many referrals will I get? And if that's their leading question, being able to have, with love, a very honest conversation with them around, you know, it's kind of a get what you give situation. And if you're willing to put in the work, you will absolutely organically get your leads, but that's not how we work here. So I think setting that and being really confident and holding that boundary is really important. And the second mistake I see people make is not necessarily in a self-righteous way, but making it too much about them. And so making it their quote, quote, stage, for lack of a better term, and really focusing on having all the attention or the focus on them, number one, takes away from people being able to connect with one another, right? Because then they're constantly focused on you. But it also puts an unnecessary amount of pressure on you as a facilitator, where quite frankly, they don't need you to be everything. They just need you to have the vision and be, you know, the facilitator and the steward of the mission and the person who brings the people together. But placing that unnecessary amount of pressure on themselves I think is where I see a lot of people go wrong too, because they think they have to be all of these things. On the flip side, as far as a participant, I think the number one thing is thinking that simply putting yourself in the room is enough. That is the first step. By all means, rip the Band-Aid off. The first step is the hardest, putting yourself in the room, whether it's at, you know, in-person meetings or online things or retreats or whatever these things look like. Putting yourself in the room is the first step, but being an active participant and really leading with that servant mindset of like, how can I get plugged in and connect with other people and serve them? And it's going to come back full circle. I tell people all the time, even when you're in our community, when you're introducing yourself on Instagram or you send someone a message and say, hey, I'm new to the community. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'd love to hear more about what you do. You don't even have to talk about what you do first because they're going to ask you because you asked them first. But the simple gesture of really propositioning that and making that genuine effort to get to know people better is huge. And so I think it's one of those things where it's you get what you give. And if you're willing to be an active participant and really go in with that servant heart, that is going to be, you know, tenfold as far as your results being improved versus just putting yourself in the room and sitting in the corner.
Well, and I think there's two things that you hit on, and one of them goes into my next question. So it's a perfect segue.
Perfect.
But the first thing is, you know, it's kind of like going in with a hidden agenda. Like, yes, like we may want referrals or we may want to build these connections, but also like you need to think about the other person first and to build those genuine connections, because yes, we all could, you know, we all want these other things and, you know, want to, you know, cultivate a community of our own and build these connections. But people like see through the BS these days, like they can really see through the non-genuine relationships. And for me, even like in the past, I have had just, I feel like so many people not necessarily use me, but like kind of like go in with those hidden agendas. And because of that, I have become pretty guarded in some situations of like feeling that way. And yeah. I think with that comes, you know, because of having a lot of past experiences of the way people come into conversations and things like that. And then I have realized, okay, I also don't want to come across that way to other people. And I also want to make sure that people in my community aren't that way as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that is like so important to remember from both sides of it, is when you're the one facilitating these events and these in-person things or these moments, these communities, you know, being very clear of who you want in this space. And I love that you were talking about, you know, when people reach out to you about referrals and things like that. Yes, like in a nice way, talking them about, you know, what's really going to happen and what the point is of these events in your community. And it also helps you see, okay, maybe this isn't the right person to be at this event, because it does affect the community that you're cultivating and the amount of people that, and the certain people that you're putting in this space. But then also as the attendee coming in like that, people are going to see through it. And yes, you could have something amazing that you could offer this person, but coming in right away talking about that is probably not going to be the best way to cultivate that relationship and have them actually want to be part of that. So the other question that you tied in was about money. And I love the way that you talked about it, of that you can love both, because I'm very big on not seeing people as dollar signs in my community. But at the end of the day, it's a business and we all have businesses. And with that comes making an income, or should, if you're running a business, this isn't just like a hobby. So how do you distinguish between building community, increasing profit, but having your community not feel like they're seen as dollar signs, where I think a lot of people kind of shy away from these kinds of things. It was something that I struggled with when I was first getting into community building and things like that. But then once I got past it, I was like, okay, this is like, I don't need to have this mindset, but a lot of people struggle with it. So I would just love to get your thought on this.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I would be lying if I said I don't get clients in my coaching business from my community. I absolutely do. But that doesn't come from a sense of obligation to work with me. That comes from a continuous relationship of built trust over the course of time, right? We're talking a marathon, not a sprint. Like, these are people who have been in my world, who have been in close proximity to me, who I am constantly serving over and over and over again, that are then feeling like this is a, you know, entrusted source to invest my dollars in because she offers a transformation that I'm seeking in my business. So I am never a hard sell for people, but I also think that there is a certain sense of obligation for us to lead by example. So if we're going in and we're telling people, like, talk about what you do, put your big ask into existence, like, do these things, but we're not doing it, that's almost like a catch 22. And it's funny because we have a couple OGs in our community that we always, even on our virtual calls, we have everybody go around and introduce themselves because you never know if there's someone new in the room that could really benefit from something you have that doesn't know you already. And every now and then there's some OGs in our community that have to remind Stephanie and I to make sure to introduce ourselves too, because it's not front of mind. We want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to go. And so I think just being really clear with your intention. And again, leading with that servant heart, it's okay for it to end up monetizing. And to go back to boundaries from the very beginning, Stephanie and I knew when we launched Collab, it was going to be a paid subscription. We have five daughters between the two of us. We have other businesses. We have, you know, a crap load of stuff going on. And we knew we were not going to show up as our best self in this container if it did not have some sort of, you know, realized income stream associated with it. Now, I'm going to put a big asterisk on this because I do think there's a misconception that people are making boatloads and boatloads of money from these membership subscriptions because they know what the amount is, they do the quick math, and they think, wow, they're making all this money. But you guys don't realize the amount of stuff that goes back into systems, you know, back end things, subsidizing costs for events so that we can keep the ticket prices really accessible, all of the things that we're in reinvesting. So yes, are we making money off of our community, you know, on a regular basis? Yes, we do take an income, you know, draw, if you will, associated with the community, but we always are still leading with that servant heart and reinvesting back into the community so we can make sure that things are really accessible for people. So I think having that transparency with people, not in a way where I feel like I have to justify, because quite frankly, that's not.
Grab your favorite beverage and listen up. Where are my fellow girlies out there that have been a little intimidated or confused by SEO? I am right there with you, or I was, until the Duo Collective launched SEO on Tap. Search engine optimization is a big part of being found on search engines, including Instagram. While I was in the process of launching my website, getting my blog started, and wanting to be found organically before diving into paid ads, I knew I had to up my SEO game, and it was a no-brainer to learn from my girls, Abby and Courtney, over at Duo Collective. SEO on Tap makes SEO easy to understand and implement, and they actually have doors closed, but not for you. By being a listener of our podcast, you can get access to SEO on Tap until April 30th. Check out our show notes or DM Duo Collective on Instagram with the words, "She can." It's time for you to be found, and SEO on Tap is going to help you do it.
Necessary, but I do think it's important to let people know, like, hey, we're going to subsidize fill in the blank so that we can make the tickets to this thing really accessible because we want as many people to attend as possible. So having those open lines of communication, I think, helps too.
When I think it goes into you saying, okay, we have five daughters between the two of us, which, oh my gosh, I have one daughter. And I'm like, I can't.
Wild.
Yeah, I'm like, Godspeed. But with that, it's like that you were setting your boundaries for yourselves of like what needs to happen with this and like what is going to be our capacity for being able to show up. And you guys were very honest with yourselves that like we do not think we are going to show up the way that we know we can with the availability you guys have as moms of business owners of other things. And it's really important to think about the seasons of life and the seasons of business you are in to make sure that your offer suites and what you're doing, even if it's within the community side, because I see so many people that are like, well, I need to have all these free communities because who's going to join a paid one if I don't have a free one and things like that. And that's not necessarily always the case. Like your free community could be your Instagram. Like for me, that's mine. My free community is my Instagram, my podcast, my email list. Like those are my free communities. And then everywhere else, because of the capacity I'm in with stuff I do with Dubsado, with stuff I do with my own business and my retreats and everything, and me being a mom, a sports mom, I coach softball, like I know my capacity. And I, like you said, I'm not going to show up in a way that I know I need to if it isn't going to be income producing for the season of life. But like you said, you know, we don't just take these income and then that's it. And then we just like sit on all this money. We have everything we're reinvesting in. We have taxes. Like there's so many things that go into it. And it's really important to remember if you are one that's wanting to build these communities is that there is income that needs to go into building them, whether that is platforms you are utilizing for a membership, whether that is renting out a space to host a retreat or a conference. Like there's so many layers of things that I'm even, you know, workshopping through with my retreat right now of like, okay, where is this income going to actually see what the profit is going to be, to make sure that it is going to be an income producing thing for my business, but also highly, highly, highly serving my community.
I'm going to add one thing. I think that alignment is really important in making it really clear for you as the facilitator. So I don't want you to think if you're listening that it has to be paid. You can absolutely do things that are free, but get really, really honest with yourself about what it is that you're trying to create, who it's serving, and what the purpose is, which is why I said going back to that vision, what is the purpose? What is your hope for it? If it's truly just for support or friendships or whatever, that is great, but those can also be byproducts of a paid community. And so I think getting really honest with yourself is so hugely important and really making sure that that is the core of the way that you're showing up. And even if, you know, ours is a revenue producing, you know, entity, I wanted to share, I just pulled up the picture really quick. I posted a picture on my feed earlier this week that my 7-year-old wrote me a little note. And this is, you know, child's minds, right? They're just so adorable and raw. And she wrote this little note to me and it said, "I love your business. You teach people to be kind and you help out others. I love you so much," from Boo Boo. And she left it on my desk. And it's like, that's what she sees, right? These kids are, they're always watching. And that's what she sees.
That makes my heart happy.
Yes. I'm like, I'm all misty. But that's what she sees, because like she sees that is the core. And when I talk to her about the things that we're doing, it's like the impact this is going to create for people. This is going to make their businesses grow. And this is going to make them really confident and feel really proud of themselves. Those are the things she's constantly hearing. And so she's not like, way to make a bunch of money this month, mom. Like, you know what
we're going to Target, mom.
Right. YOLO, Starbucks run. Yeah. Like, those are the things that she sees. And so that's when I'm like, okay, this is still the core. Like at the end of the day, making money or not, that is still the core and the purpose. And it just makes me happy that even my kids see it too.
Oh, that like makes my mom heart like so happy hearing that, because I think that's something I was talking about this with someone the other day of, you know, what our children see of us being entrepreneurs and things like that. And my husband works for Dungeons and Dragons. So, you know, they can like physically see what he's creating and like the boxes that come to our house of all this merch, and they can see that. And then I'm like, okay, like, you know, I went to do, it's because I went and did career day at my daughter's school. And I was like, what am I going to talk about? Like, are these kids going to understand what I do? And, you know, the way I just phrased it was just like so intentional. And, you know, people always say like, be able to speak about your business like you're talking to a child. And I actually had to do that. And it was like a lot of the children's like favorite booth to come to. They had so much fun. I had them write out, you know, if they were their own boss, like what would they do for their business? And so many of them had so many cool ideas. And it was just so fun to see. And I think it's, you know, when we look at it from the perspective of what our children are seeing and what others are seeing, you know, asking if you're not a mom, like, you know, asking what others are seeing of your community and what they're taking from it and getting their feedback to make sure that what others are taking out of your community and your offers and your messaging is actually related back to your why and your purpose is really going to help you see if you're in alignment or if you're not in alignment. Because if you're feeling like, oh, like, I don't know if these things that I'm putting out there are landing, or like, I don't feel really like lit up doing these, you know, see how others are receiving that messaging. And if it's like completely off of what your purpose is, then there could be a disconnect there. And this is big when it comes to community growth and being in a community and attending things, is making sure that it is relevant to your purpose and your why and for the season of life that you're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree.
So for me, in real life, events always come down to like the environment of the people that are in the rooms. And that's why, you know, like Haley said, me and her have had many conversations of being very intentional of the spaces we are in, the people we are surrounding ourselves in, or surrounding ourselves with. And how do you kind of like go about cultivating rooms with the right people and being okay to have those conversations if it may not be the right space for someone, or knowing like if that is going to be the case of having those conversations, like if someone were to reach out to you and you were just like, ooh, I don't know if this is right kind of thing. How do you go about that of cultivating it so then everyone that's in there is for the most part having an enjoyable experience?
Yeah, I think for me, really going back to that foundation of making sure that the expectations are set up very clearly from the get-go. I actually just recorded a solo episode for my podcast about this earlier today around when experience and expectations misalign and what can happen when that's the case. And so I think as much as we can, we're all very visual sensory people, right? So as much as we can paint a picture for people, whether that is through our messaging, whether that's through video content, whether that's through your emails and storytelling and really articulating for people what a visual representation is of the experience that you're cultivating, who it's for, who it's not for. And we've even used that verbiage. This is for you if, this is for you if, like those statements that allow people to kind of, it's almost like a checklist, right? Is this me? Yes or no? Is this me? Yes or no? And being really, really consistent with it. The other thing that I do consistently in both businesses is really ask people what they want. I think this is like something that so many people overlook. And instead of us hypothesizing what people might want, or is this going to be the case? There is so much value in doing market research, both on the front and on the back end. So asking people like, hey, would you want to do, like, I'm doing a table event in Gilbert and I live on the other side of town. I'm almost an hour and a half away, but I've been having people from the East Valley who have been driving for these events. And so I asked, you know, is anybody interested in this before I go through the whole shebang of like figuring out how to set this thing up? Do people actually want this, or am I just trying to tell myself that people want this? And so constantly asking for that feedback and creating the feedback loop on the back end. And one of the questions that I ask is, how did your initial perception compare to your actual experience? Number one, bonus points if it's better than they expected, right? They expected this and we exceeded their expectations. But how can we do a better job of articulating it as good as it actually is the first time? And so even though you want to look at it and say like, bonus, we exceeded their expectations, that's great, but we're missing the mark on really showcasing the immense value that it has. And so what are the things that we need to be doing a better job of highlighting? So expectations, I think, are huge. And again, just outlining like, hey, this is for you if, or this is the purpose of this room, and making sure what people are expecting, like their expectations coming into the container, are going to align with the experience, because then it kind of weeds out like the FOMO, right? The people who just end up there because they see their friends posting about it and they're like, oh, I don't want to miss out, but it actually isn't a good fit for them. I think those are the things that I am really, really consistent about doing, no matter what the type of event is, big, small, everything in between. And so far, so good. It has really, really just created the most highly potent rooms for people to want to be in and continue to come back to over and over again.
It's market research is so underutilized, and I don't understand why. And guys, like, you don't need to like put on your polls, like market research, like this is what I'm asking. Like, you can just, you know, put something up there to get feedback. I'm doing this so much for my retreat, and it's helping me build it to be exactly what people are wanting. And I think that's why people are snagging spots so quickly, is because it is exactly what my community is asking for and wanting. And we are putting stuff in place. Yes, I am always making sure that it relates back to my why and my purpose. I'm not just like, oh, great idea, let me pop this in there, and it has like no like relation to what I actually want to do. But if a lot of people are asking for something that is aligned with what I want to do and what my purpose is for this retreat, why not have it there? So then people are more excited about being there and feel like I helped cultivate this retreat, and this is exactly where I want to spend my time. And I think that, you know, getting as much research from your community, and if you guys are starting out listening to this and you're like, well, I don't have thousands of people in my community or anything like that, like I only have a couple hundred people, like that's still a couple hundred people that are in your community. And even though, even if you have thousands of people, you still may only get a few people that respond sometimes. And so just dive deeper with those couple of people that are responding to you, or if there are people that are always getting opening your emails. I have like some people that a couple are coming to the retreat that like open up every email, buy every resource I put out there. Like I know, like I knew their application was going to come in. I had no like question on it. And it's because I built that like know and trust with them. I have market researched them so much because they will snag every single thing I put out there. And it really helps me to cultivate the community of more people like them, because they are my ideal community members. They are my ideal audience, and my messaging is hitting them. And so I want to figure out why and where it's hitting at, so then I can make sure that I can grow this and scale it on a greater sense. When it comes to in real life events, there's so many that are popping up these days. Like, I swear I'm seeing new retreats, new everything every single day. So how do you try and make yours stand out, so then people want to continue to be a part of them, whether it is a virtual event or an in real life event, from the rest that are out there?
I think the thing that has worked the best for me is word of mouth referrals. So I think getting caught in the weeds of has to be the latest and greatest, and it has to be the best, and I have to spend all this money and have a super low margin because I need to give so much value, I think gets us in this constant comparison trap where you're constantly going to be chasing something more, something more, something more, and you're going to honestly burn yourself out. I think for me, really getting intentional about nurturing the people that are there instead of constantly chasing new people, because for our events in both businesses, we have a lot of frequent flyers, right? One of them is a membership. And so we have those people who are constantly coming back every single week, both in person and online for our events. And through my other business, we were at the table. We have people who are coming month after month who are still continuing to purchase these tickets. And the people that are coming that are new are usually hearing about it from somebody else who has already been there. And so I always ask at my events, you know, hey, give me your feedback. I send a follow-up email. I thank them for coming because it is an investment of their time, of their money, of their energy to be able to put themselves in these rooms and really make sure that I want them to know that their time is valuable, that I value them, you know, trusting me and coming and putting themselves in this space and having a follow-up for them that is, you know, some sort of lucrative asset for them to be able to take away with them. So one of the things with the table that I do is I send out a list after the fact with everybody's information on it. And so it has their name, it has their Instagram handles. And then we do a big ask activity where they all go around and they're able to vocalize their big ask. We've had literally everything from friendship, people who are really seeking genuine friendship, even outside of business, just real life friends, all the way to, you know, people launching offers and they're looking for referral partners for affiliate programs. Like, we have everything in between. And so I send that out to an asset or as an asset for them after the fact, so they can make meaningful connection that spans beyond the room. And so I think really loving on your people, the people who are coming that are going to be your raving fans, that are opening all your emails, that are buying all your offers, pouring into and loving on them, that is going to tenfold you know, have your like a better return on investment than just constantly chasing over putting new butts in the seat, because it'll just happen organically.
Exactly. I mean, referrals are so big in everything, but especially for in real life events, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's a big step for someone, especially for people that maybe haven't gone to an in real life event, or it's new for them, or, you know, they're just getting started in their business. And so this idea of networking with a bunch of random people can be a little terrifying. And even for like the, like I'm an extrovert, and, you know, when I'm in a group, sometimes I can be like a little like, ooh, like, you know, you still get like a little nerves, like when you first go in, but probably like a little less than people that are more introverted. And so it's like making sure that, you know, we are catering and understanding of those feelings of that people need to hear sometimes from other people's experiences to make sure that it is right for them. But that's where referrals come into place. And you will see such a high return on investment of really pouring into your community and into these people that are part of your community that are showing up to these events, because they're going to talk about it, whether mm-hmm. it's good or whether it's bad, people are going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And word travels fast in the online space. And if it is a poor experience or something that just like wasn't right for them, people may talk about it. But just because it wasn't right for someone does not mean it isn't going to be right for other people. So I want to be clear on those expectations of negative feedback that you may get. Is sometimes it, you could get negative feedback just because it wasn't the right event or community for that person, but does not mean that it's not going to be right for the next person. So still get that feedback from people and hear about it, because it's good to know, and you don't have to take everything and implement it, good feedback or bad feedback. You can take it and again, look back at your purpose and your why and just align everything to that.
And it goes back to too, just that experience and expectations being aligned. If you're really clearly articulating that, it may weed them out on the front end and they may just never come at all, which is totally fine because it's clearing room for somebody who it is really aligned for. And you are going to get those pieces of feedback. One of the things we do a survey through our community every year, and one of the things that somebody had, or actually several people had put this last year, was they wanted the meetings to be on a different day of the week. And we meet on the same day, same time, every single week. And we were very honest when we shared some feedback from the survey. We shared a bunch of like the most frequently asked questions or pieces of feedback. And we shared that openly. And we said, with love and grace, that we chose this day because it aligns with our schedule and our commitments as moms, as wives, as business owners to be able to have it on this day and time. And that is why it is that day. We do our best to try to facilitate other events on different days of the week, but unfortunately, evenings or another day of the week is just simply not going to work for the season that we're in. And I think you and I talked about this too when you picked your retreat dates. You're like, I looked at my schedule first and said, what works best for me and my family, as you should. And the people who want to be there bad enough are going to figure out a way to make it work.
Exactly. And, you know, just know if they can't make it work that time, they'll make it work a different time. Like I have people that like have such big FOMO that they can't make it because of their own time commitments. And they're like, please tell me there is another one. And that is like my favorite kind of feedback to get. Cause I'm like, okay, like people are excited about this. They don't care about when it's happening. Like they want to make it work and figure out a time that will work in their schedule. But if they can't make it to that one, then if you are thinking about having another event or doing something else, then getting that feedback from people, like anytime someone has, you know, if I see that they, you know, clicked on the link, but maybe haven't applied, I'm asking them that this feedback and figuring out what's going on. And sometimes it's time commitments. And that's helpful for me because I know I need a wait list out there for my spring retreat. So it's like, really making sure to get all kinds of feedback in all different ways and being okay with that feedback. You know, I want to hear it. I want to hear how the messaging is. I want to hear why someone may feel like the retreat isn't right for them or why being a part of this community isn't right for them. I want to hear that, whether it's good or bad feedback. It's really important for me to continue to cultivate the right community. Haley, this has been so great. Like I could talk to you forever. Where can people connect with you? I'm sure they would love to. And if they're in the Arizona area, be a part of your events. And don't worry, guys, we will link everything in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. I hang out mostly on the gram. So my handle over there is the Haley Westfall. I am also trying to be better on LinkedIn. So if you want to come hang out with me over there, come over and find me as well. Yeah, I am in Arizona, primarily in the West Valley, but I am doing events all over in 2024. So we're going to be in the East Valley, Midtown, Scottsdale, West Valley, all over. So if you go over and follow me on Instagram, you'll see all of the event information posted there. And I have a podcast as well, The Table. It's on Spotify and Apple, and we just have conversations around relationships in business, and whether that's a relationship with yourself, a relationship with your peers, with your clients, all the good, the bad, and the ugly. So come hang out there as well. Tell me what you think.
Awesome. Well, everything will be linked in the show notes for you guys, and definitely check it out. And thank you so much for joining me, Haley. I know this will be so helpful for, you know, both aspects of community, whether it is you wanting to cultivate your own community or you're just trying to make sure that you are in the right communities for yourself. I think this conversation is going to be so helpful for so many people. So thank you so much for joining me, Haley. And I will see you guys on the next episode of She Can Systemize.
Thank you.